भक्तिवेदांतस् ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। समवेद भक्तवृंद की जय। निताय गौरानंद All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru Vrindavan. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Namo. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine. निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशकारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम द 11th कैंटो चैप्टर 5 बुक मार्क्स लॉन्ग हियर सो वर्स 19 श्रीराज उवाच कस्मिन् काले स भगवान् किं वर्णः कीदृशो निधिः नाम्ना वाक्येन विधिना पूज्यते तदिहोच्यताम् श्रीराज उवाच कस्मिन् काले स भगवान् किं वर्णः कीदृशो निधिः नाम्ना वाक्येन विधिना पूज्यते तद्विहोच्यताम् translation, King Nimi had inquired, in what colors and forms does the Supreme Personality of Godhead appear in each of the different ages, and with what names and by what types of regulated principles is the Lord worshipped in human society? Quote, it has been clearly established in the previous verses that human life is spoiled if one does not surrender unto the Supreme Lord and engage in his devotional service. Therefore, the king is now requesting the sages to give specific details about the worship of the Lord, because this devotional process has clearly been described as the only practical means of delivering the conditioned soul. Thank you. Om Ajnana Timirandas Jnana Angana Shilapaya Chakshurun Vitamena Tasmai Shri. You know this verse, Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langheti Girin Yakpipa Tat Aham Vande Paramananda Madhavan. This verse is in the invocation prayers by Sridhar Swami in his commentary on the Bhagavata, as well originates. He composed it. The verse, the meaning is Yat Kripa. So the subject of the verse is the mercy of Krishna. Yat Kripa, the mercy of Krishna does what? The dumb person, it makes him speak. Muktam Kuroti Vachalam. Vachalam is speech. So the mercy of the Lord causes the dumb person to speak, the lame person to climb a mountain. Pangum Langhayate Girim. And so, whose mercy is that? Yat is whose mercy? Yat Kripa, whose mercy? Paramananda Madhavan. It's Madhav, Krishna, the Supreme Bliss, that's his mercy, so that's the verse. This verse is important because it's a segue into one of the most important verses for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Krishna Varnam, Kusha Krishnam. And you can see that Krishna Varnam, Kusha Krishnam is the answer to Kim Varnaha in this verse. Look at the Sanskrit. The question is, Kim Varnaha, what color does the Lord have in the different ages? And then, Kidrishaha, Kim Varnaha, Kidrishaha, Vibhihi, Namna Vakena Vibhina. So, Kidrishaha here, actually, Kidrishaha means a question. How? The translators have provided the translation as having what form. So what color, what form, what names, namna, or name, and what vidhi, what method. So those are the questions here. What color, what form, what name, and what method, pujyate, should the Lord be worshipped by, or with. This is the idea of the verse. And so the answers follow. So, Karabhajan Rishi will describe the complexions, the colors of the Supreme Lord in different ages. And in Kali Yuga, that's the famous verse, the color is described for the golden avatar. But interestingly, there is a red color. What are the names? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name is not mentioned explicitly. But the names Vishnu, Yajna, Krishnigarbha, Purukrama, these are all the names that are given, Hamsa. Then also the methods. The famous verse, Krite, Yat, Jhayato, Vishnu, Kritayam, Yajato, Makhai. So all these, you know, in Satya Yoga, meditation. But finally, Kalautad, Harikirtana. You would think that by the 11th canto, the message is loud and clear. But the requirement, the qualification of the hearers of the Bhagavatam is in Kali Yuga, Manda Sumandamati, Manda Bhagya, Alpayusha. Lazy, if not lazy, not very intelligent. If not lazy and not intelligent, then misguided. If not lazy, if not intelligent, if intelligent, if not lazy, if not misguided, unfortunate. Because of the fact that Upadritaha, disease and all this, short-lived, alpayusha, These are our qualifications, unique qualifications of the hearers of the Bhagavatam in Kali Yuga, which is why repetition is important. But this verse is also, it's almost like a Moola Mantra, it's the Bija. It is a challenge to the concept that the Lord doesn't have form. By what form? The Lord doesn't have form. Why would he ask by what form? So the Lord has forms. The Lord has names. The Lord even has colors. Red, white, yellow, pitta, and shyama, black. So this verse is also underscoring the fact that the Supreme is not just a homogeneous light without form, and yet somehow magically able to speak from the sky. No, that homogeneous light is but one aspect of Krishna. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit by going to the first canto. Anybody who wants to prepare a lecture on Krishna and Krishna's avatars, if you don't know this already, the first canto, third chapter is full of gems. So I'm going to kind of read through some of the verses in the third chapter, first canto. But before I get to that, I was thinking about this question of, you know, the Supreme Lord is one, Eko Bahusyam, one becomes many. Eko Bahunam Yo Vidhati Kaman, who provides for all the living entities. Many, one provides for many. This might give us the idea that there is one Supreme and many living entities. And while that's true, it is also true that there are many infinite Supreme Beings. In other words, Lord Ram is also the Supreme Being. He's the same person in a different mood, that's how we say. Or sometimes, in the third chapter especially, Amsha and Kala, this famous words, Etecha Amsha Kala. What does this mean, Amsha Kala? Prabhupada translates the word Amsha as plenary portion, and then Kala as portion of plenary portion. Sridhar Swami translates it as Kala is portion, Amsha is portion, and Kala is energy, Shakti. So in any case, the point is that the Supreme has many, many forms, infinite forms. In fact, it could be argued that as many living entities there are, those many Supreme infinite forms there are. Because of the fact that the Supreme is infinite. Of course, it's a question of how you compare infinite versus infinite. There are infinite living entities and there are infinite Supreme Beings. But the Supreme Being is one. But he has taken infinite forms. So this concept is explained in the third chapter of the first canto. If I can, I didn't find the first canto here, unfortunately. I was bank hoping that the book would be here. So I'm going to have to kind of struggle through my iPhone here. I may not be able to find it easily. Anyway, if somebody knows the verse, if you consider a lake has many streams. You can't count them, so many small rivulets, if you will. In the same way, the avatars of the Supreme Lord, after describing all these, Rishabhdev and Lord Ram and Matsya and Kurma and all of these, the author concludes, Vyasadeva concludes by saying that there are infinite incarnations, you could say, of the Supreme Lord. Not only that, Sarasi, the word Sarasi is there. Asankhyaya, avatara asankhyaya. That's the thing is, I don't know the verse numbers. I was hoping to just quickly go through the chapter. Oh, here it is, I found it. Avatarahi 1326. Avatarahi asankhyaya harehe satvanidhe dvija yatha abhidasinah kulya sarasahasyu sahasrashah. Prabhupada translates, O Brahmanas, the incarnations of the Lord are innumerable, like rivulets flowing from inexhaustible sources of water. And the even more interesting thing is that For each living entity, there is one unique, made-to-order expansion, partial manifestation, and that is Paramatma. So definitely as many living entities there are in the material world, those many Paramatmas, although he's one Paramatma, Kshetrajna, but still there is one Paramatma per person. How is that? Dva, Suparna, Sayuja, Sataya, Samanam, Bhukshan, Parishashvaja, Te. So this is the Taittiriya Upanishad. There are two. And there are infinite living entities, so there are infinite Paramatmas. Number of Paramatmas, although Paramatma is one. There is also a verse like that in the Bhagavatam. It says, just as fire appears from different wood and looks different because it's coming from different wood, but it's one fire. In the same way, the Paramatma seems nana eva abhati, seems many, like many, but actually is one. So in any case, the infinite Lord has infinite manifestations, Swayam Prakash also. He expands himself into many. Vaibhav Prakash, he also expands into people who are not exactly like him, but are the manifestations of his power. But then also, there are amshas, there are portions of Krishna, like the Paramatma. The Paramatma will be counted as an amsha of Krishna. And then there are shaktis. Prithu Maharaj is the incarnation of power. He's not Krishna himself, but he's an incarnation of his power, his shakti, shaktyavesha, as we call it. Or Narad Muni, or the Kumaras, or Shaktyavesha, they are manifestations of his knowledge, and so on. Now I want to come to this question of form. The Supreme Lord has a form that raises difficulties in the minds of people, when I've had these arguments with people. And so I kind of wanted to take you through a question answer in my own brain, and how I provide the answers to the questions that come. Based on the Bhagavatam. For this, the first verse is the most important. First verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the most important in refuting objections to these questions. So I'll show you, at least from my point of view, so I'll show you how that is. So Krishna has a form. Okay, you say Krishna has a form. He has eyes, nose, and so on. But in the material world, we observe that form is related to function. Function follows form. The eyes have a certain type of form because they have a certain type of function. I don't know if this is making sense. But for example, a simple example is the teeth. The teeth have to be sharp so that they can cut into food. So that's a specific type of shape that the tooth has, and it's made of a certain type of material that allows functionality. In the same way, the ear, for example, and you know, this can get really complex. The ear, for example, has a specific type of shape that focuses sound waves that travel from air into the inner ear. And then there is the tympanic membrane, there are vibrations of the membrane, and that's connected to inner bone, that vibrates the cochlea, and then that converts into electrical signals go to the brain. So the ear has a specific function, and that and its form is designed, you could say, or its form uniquely enables its function. Same thing with the eyes. There is a pupil, there is a black. But everything else is white. So the white is the cornea. And then there is the pupil that captures the eye and focuses it with the blood vessels in the eyes. There are tear canals in the eyes which allow us to weep. You know, the tears are secreted from tear canals connected to the eye. There are small openings that secrete drops. They also keep the eye lubricated and so on. So everything in the material body, I could go on this physiology class, everything in the body has a specific form from which follows function. Now we say, and let's come to our philosophy, we say Krishna has a form. So why does he need the teeth that way? Well, why does he need, that's the question. Okay? Is it an appropriate question? We'll come back to that. But or he has nails on his fingers. And he has hair on his head and eyes, which are red. They're not white like ours, but anyway, he has eyes. This is a problem that those who reject material form, or those who want to accept that the Supreme is not material, but who have a tough time accepting that the Supreme can have a form. This is kind of the thought process that they have. Because all material things have form, and they have the form for a certain function. But then, how do we, what do we say? Well, the first question is, does Krishna have a material body? And the answer, you know, where does it say in the Shastra that he doesn't have atoms in the body? That his body is not made up of cells? How do we know this? Where does it say in Shastra? So that's the first verse. And many places, but the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dhamna Svena Sada Nirastha Kuhakam. Dhamna Svena, from his Swarupa, from his own form, and from his abode. Dham means abode and form both. Dhamna Svena Sada Nirastha. Nirastha, the word Nirastha in Sanskrit is rejected. Kuhakam, Maya. So we understand that all matter comes from, is a transformation of the three gunas, Sattva, Jatama, Guna, which ultimately comes from Ahankar, which comes from going back to Mahatattva, which is Maya, impregnated with the material, with the souls. So Maya, Prakriti, when she becomes mixed nicely with souls, that produces matter through this chain of events. So, we understand that matter is Maya, in that sense, product of Maya. But Sada Nirastha Kuhakam, because that is eternally rejected from Krishna, it follows that Krishna is not made of any matter at all. So, that's number one. So, if Krishna is not material, his pure spiritual form, Shuddha Sattva, as we call it in our language, then how is it that he has all these characteristics that are similar to human beings? He cries, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he got tears in his eyes, he dances. Human beings, when they jump up on the earth, they come back down because of gravity. Gravity pulls us down, otherwise we could just float. But Mahaprabhu jumps and comes back down also. So how is he coming back down? Is gravity pulling him? The answer is no. Are the tears secreted by canals in the eye, in Mahaprabhu's eyes? No, because he's not made of matter. So then how is it that, how do we process this? So this is the problem people have, and it's a challenge that we have to address. You say God is supreme, he has a form, I'll accept that. But your God is behaving exactly like us, he's crying, he's eating. That's the other question that comes up. In the spiritual world, nainam chindanti shastrani, the soul cannot be pierced, cannot be cut, cannot be dried, cannot be wetted. So how are people eating apples in the spiritual world? You know, how is the, because everything is conscious. So you're somehow cutting into the soul, what's going on? Questions like this come, and we have to ponder over them and know how to answer. But of course, all these answers are given in the Bhagavatam, especially in the first verse. So the first point was, Dhamna Svena Sada Nirastha Kuhakam Satyam Parangimahi. The second point is that, and this is why I needed my first canto. Let me go see if I can find the verse that provides a refutation for this also, in addition to the first verse. Let's see. There's a verse that says that by arguments, by logic, one cannot understand these things. But I can't find it now. What is it? Naisha Tarkena? Anyway, unfortunately, I should have prepared better for this because I... Many verses, okay. Anyway, we've got many suggestions here. And there is, of course, a famous from the Mahabharata. Achintya khalu ye bhava, natnatam starkena yojayet. Anyway, so logic of the material mind will always fail in trying to understand Krishna's form. And the reason is the gudha kapata manusha. Krishna is deliberately playing like a human being hidden in the material world as a human being. So he looked like a human being to us. He looked like any ordinary person. And indeed, he is considered like that by the majority of the world, except us. majority of the world thinks, oh, yeah, you know, he played with 16,000 wives, what's the moral character problem? You know, he ran away from the battlefield, coward. Shishupal considered the same, or Jarasandha. So Krishna has that quality of being hidden to our material vision, to our material mind. And therefore we mistake him to be a human being. So the assumption goes like this. I am a human being. What I understand is how things work. And therefore they should be applicable to Krishna because he is behaving like me. And that's the mistake. That's the logical problem. And this is explained by the first verse again. Tejo varimbrida yatha vinimaya atra trisarga musha. So this verse is very important in refuting this objection, this line. This material world looks real to us. Yes, the ear is designed like this and the teeth are designed like this for this function. This function follows this form. This is our material world telling us. And it's true. And we insist it's true, but actually it's not. This is what the third line is saying. Why? Because there is something real, satyam, param dhimahi. There is some absolute truth. Okay? Because there is some absolute truth, things here appear real. That's this verse. That's the meaning of this verse. And we mistake these things to be real instead of considering that absolute truth to be real. Just like in a mirage, somebody might see water and think that that's water is real, but actually that's fire. Mistaking tejo vari mrida, mistaking water in fire, fire in land, land in water, and so on. So these are this is exchange, vinimaya. This is called exchange. Atra trisarga mrusha. This trisarga means created by the sattva rajatama guna. This is amrusha. Amrusha is not false. It seems real to us. This is the truth for us. By whom? Because of Krishna's supreme energy, maya, that's acting. So Krishna is the supreme truth. His teeth have a certain function. His eyes have a certain function. And so on. And we cannot understand what those functions are based on the functions we know in the material world. And the reason for that is Krishna. This is Krishna's energy acting. We consider the material things that we perceive to be the ultimate truth, whereas they are not. The ultimate truth is Krishna and his pastimes, and they are reflected in through a perverted mirror here. Another way of thinking about it also is the fact that everything in the material world is Krishna's, in that sense. So for example, in the spiritual world, Sankarshan, the chief potency, prepares Krishna's spiritual abode, prepares all the paraphernalia that accompanies him, everything that he does, his internal energies, facilitate his enjoyment. That same Sankarshan is responsible for gravity, according to our philosophy. So ultimately the material world and its laws are also derived from the Supreme. Nothing is independent of it. Although it is illusory, because it is not exactly how the spiritual world works, and because we have a tendency to thrust our material conceptions on the spiritual world, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says. He says, we should not thrust our material conceptions on the spiritual world. That is violence. So that's the other point. Let's see what else I wanted to say here. Yeah, and so the second line of the first verse supports this point. Tene brahma ridaya adikavai muhyanti yat surayaha. The material world was created by Brahma. And Brahma was inspired to create by Krishna. So this was the point I'm trying to make. Ultimately, all the laws in the material world are also inspired by Krishna. It is no surprise that they seem similar to the spiritual world. What's happening in the spiritual world? Krishna plays the flute in the spiritual world. And that flute's sound is conveyed. So how is the flute working? You know, the flute has an air column according to material conceptions that is vibrating, and then when you put the fingers at different positions, you change the length of the vibrating column, you change the frequencies, and that's how you get different frequencies, different notes coming out, and then they are transported by sound waves, pressure waves, to the air, to the ears of the gopis. Is that how it's working? The answer is no. This is not the mechanism by which Krishna plays the flute. It's not the mechanism by which the gopis are hearing Krishna's flute. But in the material world, a similar, apparently similar mechanism applies. And because that's the only thing we know, therefore we have problems with the fact that Krishna could have a form, that Krishna could act in the material world, not in the material world. Krishna is always in the spiritual world. That's the other point is, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Bengal, in Nadia, is he in the material world or is he in the spiritual world? Dhamna svena sada nirastha kuhakam. Sada is important there, always. Illusion is always, Maya is always rejected, eternally rejected from Krishna, no matter where he is. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually in the spiritual world, even in Mayapur, and it manifests in the honor. So all the laws are different when it applies to Krishna. In fact, there is a verse in the first canto, in the third chapter again, which says that although this Maya is Krishna's, Krishna always keeps it afar, far away. Just like there is a flower somewhere far away and you smell the flower in the same way. The gunas are far away from Krishna and he only takes the scent, you know, in controlling them. And so, janma adi asya yataha anvayar itaratascha artheshu abhigyaswarar. The whole this material creation, janma, the birth, its maintenance, its destruction, all has come from Krishna. And this we can understand because Krishna is the cause. But because he doesn't get transformed, like material matter and energies are transformed, he's also not the cause. So he's the cause from far. Whereas the material transformations occur on their own. So anvayat itaratascha artheshu abhigyahaswarat. He's always in knowledge, he's always independent. And he gave this knowledge of creation to Brahma. Muyanti yat surayaha. The demigod, the devatas who are actually in charge of all the control of our eyelids and sound and everything else, inconceivably in control, they are also confused about him. So what are we? Who are we? What are we going to understand? So the first can, this third chapter is important to study. Because after going through all the descriptions, all the avatars, then saying they're infinite, then what would seem perplexing is that Vyasadeva segues into us and he explains why we are stuck, what our problem is. So the example is given, he gives two examples. One is that in the sky, we think that the clouds are supported by the sky, when actually they're supported by the wind. Or we think the air is dirty, when actually it's the earth that's mixed with it. It's not the air that's dirty, it's the earth, that's the dust that's showing in it. So in the same way, the jiva, the soul, thinks he's the body when he's not. Identifies with the mind, the ahankar, the senses when he's not. When we do not know who we are, when we do not know, even though we theoretically accept and we hear this over and over again that we are not the body, but the soul, even though we are not convinced of it, even though we haven't seen ourselves, Pashyan Atmani Tushyati Tatsvayam Yogasan Siddhaha Kalinatmani Vindati. We haven't seen ourselves, we haven't experienced ourselves. What position are we in to actually figure these questions out with our minds? We aren't. The person who is fundamentally ignorant of his or her own existence doesn't have the capacity to conclude anything about the Supreme. Doesn't have the capacity to conclude that the Supreme cannot have form. And Prabhupada used to say, when you have form, how can you deny the Supreme has form? Then the Supreme is less than you. So the Mayavadis say, aropitaha, they say, you know, we have falsely imposed a form, when there is no form of the Supreme. And these are their ideas, and I have presented to you the counter objections to this. Of course, there are many, many verses we can go through. But it's useful to have one verse from which we can reject everything. That's the first verse of the Bhagavatam. Okay, I'll stop here if there are comments or questions.
this verse you're quoting that you attributed to Sridhar Swami in Prabhupada's slokas, it's coming from the, maybe this is Sridhar Swami, but there's a difference in the last line. This is adapted from the Bhavartha Deepika Mangala Stotram 1.
That is Sridhar Swami. Bhavartha Deepika.
He wrote it. Okay, but then it's I noticed when Ram Govinda gave class, the last class he gave, he quoted it different than what's in the sloka book. So I'm wondering why there's, it ends Sri Gurum Dinatarana.
Yeah.
It attributes.
And the Sri Chaitanya, there's also a third variation, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name in it also, the third line.
Oh, so there are three in variations. The CC, there's another variation.
So there are three variations on the last line.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Why? I don't know. I mean, that's how it is. But the point is that the Paramananda Madhavan is the way it is in his commentary, in Sridhar Swami's commentary.
Okay.
Wait, hold on for the microphone, please.
That's how I speak, I'm sorry. In Mayapur, Sripad Jayapataka Swami, every time he gives classes, he always quote that verse.
I see.
And then one day, I used to serve him early days, and one of his godbrothers, Jagjivan Maharaj, who passed away, he asked him that question, where did you learn this? So Prabhupada said, Prabhupada quoted this, and Prabhupada said, this is very nice. So Prabhupada added at the end. Now where Prabhupada got it, you can ask Prabhupada. You tell him. Sri Chaitanya Isharam. First says Paramananda Madhavam. Then it says Sri Chaitanya Isharam. Sri Guru Tam Naposhu. Or Sri Guru Dinatarinam. They use that too.
It's more hands up. Yes, please.
So, you were saying that we cannot impose our conception on the spiritual realm, but usually we take the conception of the sages or from the Shastra and then give that out really. So it's really not our conception. I was getting into the spiritual explanation. You were saying that matter, you know, is made up of like molecules and everything, our bodies. The deities is matter, but it is spiritual. Prasadam is matter, but it's spiritual. How can you explain spiritual? I mean, how do you would define spiritual? I mean, it's matter, but it's spiritual.
So, this is a complex topic. It is. You want to answer? Give him the microphone. Hold on.
In the 424 Bhagavad Gita, in the purport, Prabhupada explained, when by the sweet will of the Lord, a portion of the impersonal Brahman is covered by the illusory potency, it transforms into matter. Then so that's how the matter came, the self-interest away from Krishna's interest. That's the root cause of the matter. But Krishna sanctioned it. Then Prabhupada writes that, I'm talking about the edited version because the whole Bhagavad Gita has a little mistake of, because it says the whole Brahman became matter. That's not correct. That's not what Prabhupada meant. So, but the new edited version of Bhagavad Gita has a clear understanding. It's very nicely done. And then Prabhupada says, when conscious reality manifests in the matter, then it turns Brahman. So that's when we offer the dead matter, you can say apple or whatever, the food, but we are offering to the pure conscious being, Supreme Lord, then that food is no more matter. It transforms into the conscious reality manifested. So it is Brahman. It is pure, transcendental.
Very sweet. Did you leave? Please, let me go to Ragatmika Mataji, then I'll come back. Oh, there you are. Are you satisfied with the answer? Trivikram Prabhu?
Yes, sir. So, based on that description, is this where we apply utility is the principle?
What he just said?
Yeah. Could that be?
Yeah, so
that's nice.
Utilizing everything, yukta vairagya, that's the point. Okay, so maybe I'll comment. The idea is that the devotees don't see matter differently from Krishna. Ontologically, matter is Krishna's energy, so it is different from Krishna, but it also is not different from Krishna. That's why there are so many verses in the Shastras that say there is only one reality. There's nothing outside Krishna. So while we understand that Krishna, this matter is Krishna's Maya, we also understand that Maya has the capacity to serve her Lord. And so the Maya can be used in Krishna's service. But we don't do it whimsically. Oh, you know, I think I'm going to use this stock market for Maya. We are guided by Shastra. Shastra is also material, you could argue, because its sound is coming from material ear, sound to our ears. It's written on paper. This is material. Who's going to say that this is not made of atoms? Is anybody here who wants to argue that? Nobody can argue that. But the point is that Krishna's mercy has manifested in this book. This is Krishna. Is it Krishna? Because it is his words. They are coming through the material medium to us because he can do it. This is in the 87th chapter of the 10th canto. The personified Vedas say that nothing that if Krishna wants, he can empower even material worlds to carry his message. And so these books are telling us what the form of Krishna should be. And so this form of Krishna is manifested from the Bhagavatam and therefore non different from it. So, yeah, as long as matter is used in Krishna's service according to the instructions of the Guru and Shastra, it is not different from Krishna. So the devotee doesn't have an artificial separation of matter from Krishna, but at the same time we have to understand one and different, the one and different aspect of it. No, the material world is not Krishna. This is also important to understand, and my lecture kind of focused on that to help navigate doubts that may arise about how the Supreme can have form. Yes, Prabhu. Sorry, you were waiting.
Wait. You said what I was going to say more or less.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Only much more articulate.
I'm sorry.
But in one sense it is Krishna, because everything is Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in other sense it's, you know, the conversation goes on and on. You know, the prophet also used the simple, you know,
Prabhupada would say it was a beautiful conversation. He said,
you
can always remember Krishna. When you drink water, you can remember Krishna because he's the taste of water. But wait a minute, water is the transformation of the gunas, the mode of ignorance. That's where water is coming from. So how can we say water is no? It's the taste of Krishna says the taste of water is me. And even though I'm tasting it through the material senses, I can be reminded of Krishna. Same thing. There are both aspects to it. We are not jnanis that will reject the material world and say it's all illusion. But we also have the understanding that it's not Krishna. But so here's the idea. Sridhar Swami explains this beautifully. He says, the universe is Krishna, but Krishna is not the universe. The material world is Krishna, but Krishna is not the material world. That makes sense. Does that make sense? From a history perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
You know, like we're swimming in that conversation now.
Here we go. Sthitadi's favorite word of all time is reference points. You say reference points and your point is well taken, that things are going to be different. 100 years will say something else. But the point is that there are some things that cannot be denied. That the body has cells is not going to be denied in 100 years. It could be called something else, but the evidence is not going to change. Gravity is not going to stop working in 100 years. Reference points? Well, there are some reference points and that are not going to change.
No, my point is not that everything is a reference point.
Mm-hmm. We use language, certainly, and that language could be different. Yeah.
So when we consider the reference point of view in 2016,
it's
not necessarily the same definition of
the reference point of
view.
Right.
Can I use them both? Is this stereo now? Am I stereo? I can start. Do you have cartels and visual music? You know, so it'll be, you know, so I guess from historic, dropping the postmodern stuff, mm-hmm. but just from a historical perspective, one of the exercises is not to assume the past is just like the present, only a little different. You know, they have, you know, it's any more than we can anticipate what they're going to be talking about 2,000 years from now. You know, they'll be scratching their heads, what the hell are we talking about? Because they're not going to have the same cultural experience. To frame the discussion.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess there's a place for humility, not to assume we, you know.
You were saying that Krishna, that the universe is Krishna, but Krishna is not the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
quoting Sridhar Swami.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that simultaneously one and different?
That's right. This is Achintya Bheda Bheda also. Yeah.
Can we carry that as far as saying, I am Krishna, but Krishna is not me? No, really.
Yes.
I mean, it seems
Aham Brahmasmi
to go
is there. Yes.
Okay.
We are parts of Krishna.
Right.
But Krishna,
energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Krishna is not us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, we have to have, our philosophy is a balanced philosophy.
Yeah.
We don't, and I think I maybe gave one aspect of the balance, right? But we are balanced. We don't say that we are not Krishna, but we also say Krishna is not us. Exactly, you hit the nail on the head. In the same way, we don't say that Krishna, that the universe is not Krishna, but we don't say that Krishna is the universe. Aham Brahmasmi, true. Yes, we are Brahman, all of us, but we are not the supreme Brahman. And Brahman is an aspect of Krishna, so yes, we are Krishna in that sense.
So we're the energy, but not the energetic.
That's right. So always we keep the balance. So, you know, we don't completely reject one thing and completely reject the other thing. But definitely as devotees, we are focused on the fact that Krishna is spiritual and using the material energy in Krishna's service. So there the both aspects are represented. We know that Krishna is spiritual, pure spirit, is not matter. But we also use the material energy to serve him. We don't just sit there like jnanis. What's the point? I'm just going to retire from the material. That's not what we do. And the reason for that balance is the fact that we don't just accept one thing and reject the other. We don't say that matter is not Krishna's. There's more questions, more points. Maybe there's something. Sorry, Mataji, you wanted to finish your point and then we'll go. Finish your point.
Thinking, my gosh, I am so covered. If I am Krishna's energy, you know, why am I still rebellious or disconnected?
Because you're also covered by Krishna's energy. See, that's the thing is, we are very minute and not in control.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yes, you're Krishna's spiritual energy, but you're also covered by Krishna's maya, as Kapil Dev explains in the third canto. And so, not to feel too despondent, because after all, it is Krishna's maya. Oh, I fell down. Well, that's fine. It's Krishna's maya. You know, I'm insignificant. I'm trying and he'll help me. So that same maya, when she transforms into vidya, avidya transforms into vidya. This is also in the first canto. Yathavaisharadi. Unfortunately, I haven't memorized these verses. I should, but yathavaisharadi maya. Anyway, when Krishna, the same maya, Krishna's energy, she can transform into vidya, knowledge. And then destroy this illusion also. But again, it depends on our sincerity of surrender. That we can do. See, that we can do. We'll fall, rise up again. Keep trying to surrender. We'll fall again, rise up again. You know, you're really fighting a prize champion fighter, basically, in the ring. And, you know, without gloves.
Who gets the next book?
Who gets the Ramya Prabhu and then Madan Mohan Prabhu?
Just a couple of points. On this last one, it's also that being like Krishna, the living entity, is independent. So he can choose. He chooses not to be manifest his spiritual nature by choosing to enjoy the material world. Free will.
Yeah.
So that's an aspect of the living entity.
We have the qualities of Krishna, yeah.
Another question is that you talked about form and function. But there's also, you didn't cover this, but in Krishna, any part of him has all functions.
Yeah, Angani, yes, I was planning to, I forgot. Angani, yes, Sakalindriya Vikramanti. Now, yes, Prabhupada says Krishna can eat with his hands, or, you know, or any part of his body, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not doing that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking the food with his hands, putting it in his mouth. Gudha kapata manasha, he's behaving exactly like a human being. So, and, you know, while it is true that Krishna can do whatever he wants with any part of his body, still he follows certain patterns. You know, he plays the flute with his lips, not with his nails, for example. So that's what I was trying to get at. But yeah, Krishna has the potential of doing whatever he wants.
3.9.11 Tam bhakti yoga paribhavita rita saroja. It says, jajjat dhiya vivavanti urugaya vivavanti tattat bhaku pranayase sat anugrahaya. Out of his compassionate nature, Lord reciprocate. Sarvama Bhattacharya wanted to see Lord Chaitanya actually eating. Lord Chaitanya can eat without touching with hand. But Sarvama Bhattacharya will not be happy seeing that he ate through his eye. He wants to see really he put the food in his hand and mouth. So he reciprocate. That's the verse Prabhupada quote.
Thank you.
So that's why it is happening like this.
There was also interesting point at one time in the beginning. Second temple in the world in San Francisco. Devotees were serving prasadam every day to the guests, hundreds or more, and they had deities of Jagannath. So they would have Jagannath simple altar, just a platform and a curtain. And so one day they're preparing the lunch for everyone, and they burned the rice very badly. You could smell it was bad. So they discussed, there was no time to make more rice, what to do. So in their discussion, they said, well, Krishna, he eats with his ears, so he won't mind.
This is a misapplication of the philosophy.
So they took, they offered, they put the pot, actually, on the altar. They offered, they closed the curtain, and a few seconds after they closed the curtain, they heard a big bang, and the pot was upside down on the floor.
Oh, wonderful.
Very good,
See, maybe we should do that so Krishna can reciprocate.
This is 67.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I think Mother Malati is cool. Yeah.
Mother Malati.
So the last question, though, is that you talk about the transformation of food into prasadam, but that's also said that that is the touch of Krishna's saliva transforms that.
This is a high level of understanding, but yes. The same thing applies for kirtan. What is kirtan? Krishna is coming out of the devotee's mouth.
Krishna
then we are accepting him.
That sound is fully Krishna. It's not partially Krishna, it's completely.
Something.
And the same, the deity becomes the deity by the imitation of the acharya. Then he comes. Otherwise, it's not.
Madam Mohan Prabhu, please.
When I try to figure out or make sense of all these different things, it concludes to me that the Siddhanta is rasa. It's the relationship. So everything makes sense when you put it to the final idea of what it's for is our relationship with Krishna. So Krishna does everything is based on the relationship that we want to have with him. And that's the creation for the material world was part of that independence. And everything is understood. So I guess it's rasa tattva.
Ultimately, all is rasa. Bhagavatam says, Vidata Bhagavatam rasa madhavam. Everything in the Bhagavatam is rasa. And the description of the material world is in the Bhagavatam. And therefore, that is also rasa. Rasa vai saha. Rasam hi evam labha anandi bhavati. And we can become blissful by studying the Bhagavatam and approaching these topics through the eyes of the Bhagavatam. Anything else? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.